Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a legal knot that's packed with crucial lessons for anyone studying law, particularly around insurance and the concept of unjust enrichment. Mm-hmm. We're diving deep into the case of Terra Nova Insurance Co. v. Associates Commercial Corp. Basically, a story about a suspected fraud, a payment made, and then this really fascinating legal battle over who ultimately carries the risk.
Exactly. And, you know, we've sifted through the court documents, the legal analyses to really bring you the core of this case. Mm-hmm. For you law students listening, this is gold. It highlights how courts grapple with risk allocation insurance and like the boundaries of unjust enrichment claims.
Yeah.
So our mission today is pretty straightforward. When an insurer pays a claim, but they suspect fraud, can they later claw back those funds from a third party? Someone who's completely innocent. Let's get into it.
Okay, so the story kicks off back in February 1982. This guy, Brian Sharbarth, reports his truck stolen, files an insurance claim with Terra Nova. Now, right away, Terra Nova has this nagging feeling, you know, something isn't quite right, but they don't have concrete evidence of fraud. Yeah. Not yet.
Right. And despite these red flags, these suspicions, come May 1982, Terra Nova makes the payout. Mm-hmm. It's $62,210. But here's a critical piece of the puzzle. Mm. This money isn't going to Sharbarth directly.
Yeah.
It's going to Associates Commercial Corporation or ACC. They held the lien on the truck, you see.
Right. And ACC is totally in the dark about any potential, you know, funny business. They just receive this payment and do exactly what you'd expect. They apply it to Sharbarth's outstanding loan on the truck. And they also release their interest in the vehicle, effectively handing over the ownership or their claim to it to Terra Nova.
Okay. Now, fast forward a few years. It's October 1985. Sharbarth gets indicted for mail fraud related to this very truck theft. He pleads guilty in February 1986. So, boom, the fraud is now confirmed. And Terra Nova, naturally, wants their money back. So, in April 1986, they sue both Sharbarth, I mean, no surprises there, and ACC.
Right.
Arguing that ACC was unjustly enriched by receiving those insurance funds. Enrichment, encountering the term, it's the legal idea that someone shouldn't unfairly benefit at another's expense.
Okay, yeah, Sharbarth's liability seems pretty clear-cut. He committed the fraud, he admitted it. But the really meaty part of this deep dive, the interesting question, is whether Terra Nova can recover that money from ACC, this innocent bystander who had absolutely no role in the scam.
Precisely. The summary judgment against Sharbarth, that was basically the foregone conclusion once he admitted guilt. The real legal wrestling match was Terra Nova versus ACC. And this gets us right to the crux of our discussion. Can an insurer who suspects fraud but pays a claim anyway later demand that money back from an innocent payee based on restitution or, you know, the idea of unjust enrichment?
And does their initial suspicion, that awareness of potential fraud, does that change the legal landscape? Does it matter that they kind of knew?
Yeah, doesn't matter. These are the million-dollar questions, aren't they?
They really are. So how did the court see all this? What was their reasoning when Terra Nova tried to get the money back from ACC?
Well, the court sided decisively with ACC. They reasoned that ACC's receipt of the payment wasn't unjust in the legal sense. I mean, think about it. ACC had a valid security interest in that truck.
Right.
Sharbarth owed them money. Terra Nova's payment satisfied a legitimate contractual obligation, even if, you know, that obligation arose from a fraudulent claim by someone else. ACC acted entirely within the bounds of their legal agreement with Sharbarth.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, they weren't just opportunistically grabbing money. They were receiving what they were legally owed under their contract. But what about Terra Nova's argument that they paid based on a mistake of fact, you know, believing the claim was legitimate when it actually wasn't?
Here's where it becomes particularly insightful, I think, for law students. The court, especially through the words of Judge Evans, didn't classify Terra Nova's payment as a simple mistake of fact, as the law defines it. Judge Evans famously stated, and this quote is really telling, I think, call the payment lunk-headed or call it bright. I call it a business decision.
A business decision. Okay, let's unpack that. Right. What exactly did he mean by business decision?
He meant that Terra Nova, despite having their suspicions raised, despite the red flags, made a conscious choice to proceed with the payment. They likely weighed the potential risks, maybe the risk of a bad faith lawsuit if they denied the claim without irrefutable proof, versus the chance the claim was actually legitimate.
Okay.
They were aware of the possibility of fraud, yet they decided to pay. That awareness is the key. It transforms the act of payment from like an unintentional error into a calculated move, a strategic choice within a context of uncertainty.
So
the immediate insight here for students is this. The law really distinguishes between unknowingly paying a false claim and consciously paying despite your gut feeling, despite suspicions. And that distinction, it has major legal ramifications.
So it wasn't a case of them being completely duped or tricked. They had their doubts, maybe looked into it a bit, but ultimately decided, okay, let's cut the check anyway.
Exactly. And the court relied significantly on something called the Meem Mutual test, which was established in a Wisconsin case, Meem Mutual Home Protective Fire Insurance Company, Lorfeld. This test provides a kind of framework for understanding why Terranova's claim for restitution against ACC ultimately failed.
All right. Okay. Let's walk through this Meem Mutual test then. How does it apply specifically to this situation?
Sure. So the first element of the test is awareness of the risk. Did the payer know there was a potential problem? Well, Terranova was aware of the possibility of fraud. They weren't acting in complete ignorance.
Right. They had suspicions.
They had suspicions. Second, there was a voluntary payment made despite that awareness. As we've discussed, this was likely a calculated business decision, you know, involving weighing different risks.
Mm-hmm.
And third, and this is crucial for ACC's position, there was detrimental reliance. ACC relied on that payment to their detriment by releasing their collateral, the security interest in the truck.
Detrimental reliance. Okay, explain that a bit more. Why is releasing the collateral detrimental?
Well, it's detrimental because if ACC suddenly had to return the money to Terranova, they wouldn't automatically get their secured interest in the truck back. The truck might be long gone or its value diminished. They gave up a valuable right based on receiving the payment in good faith. So forcing them to return the money would leave them significantly worse off than they were before the payment.
Got it. It's like they changed their position based on the money coming in.
Exactly. Think of it like this. If you accidentally overpay your credit card, you expect the bank to credit you back. Right. Simple mistake.
Yeah.
But if you mistakenly pay someone and they, believing the payment is correct, immediately use it to pay off, say, a non-refundable deposit on something major, forcing them to return your mistaken payment later could cause them real harm because they've already acted based on having that money. That's detrimental reliance.
Okay, so because ACC acted in good faith, received money they seemed entitled to, and then changed their position by releasing the lien based on that payment, the court wasn't going to make them give the money back, even though it originated from Sharbarth's fraud.
That's a critical point.
Yeah.
The unjust enrichment argument kind of falls apart when the recipient's gain isn't truly unjust. ACC had a legitimate right to that money based on their contract with Sharbarth, regardless of where the funds ultimately came from, you know?
Right.
And the court also seemed to emphasize a broader principle in Wisconsin law, which is generally if insurers pay claims when they have reason to suspect fraud, they are the ones who bear the risk if that fraud is later confirmed.
Okay, so let's crystallize this for the law students tuning in. What are the really key nuanced takeaways from Terranova? What principles should really stick with them?
Okay, first, I'd say it's vital to grasp the legal distinction between a mistake of fact, a specific legal term, and a conscious business decision made under uncertainty. Just because an insurer later discovers they paid out on a fraudulent claim doesn't automatically make it a legally recoverable mistake of fact.
Mm-hmm.
If they were aware, even partially aware, of the potential for fraud beforehand and chose to pay anyway, perhaps to avoid litigation risk, the courts are inclined to view that as a strategic choice, not a simple error that justifies unwinding the whole transaction, especially when an innocent third party is caught in the middle.
That makes a lot of sense. It really highlights who is bearing the burden of risk in that situation. If you have suspicions, you investigate. But if you then proceed with payment anyway, you're essentially assuming that risk yourself.
Pretty much.
But isn't there still an argument, though, that even in a business decision, there's an underlying assumption of legitimacy? I mean, where exactly does that line get drawn between just a hunch and aware enough to bear the risk?
That's a really sharp question, and it's often fact-specific. The line seems to be drawn by the level of awareness and the deliberateness of the choice. Was it just vague unease, or were there concrete red flags? Did the insurer conduct an investigation? Did they weigh the risks? If an insurer identifies specific inconsistencies, maybe gets conflicting statements, but still chooses to pay, perhaps documented as a way to avoid a potential bad faith lawsuit, the court is much more likely to see that as a conscious acceptance of risk. The Meem Mutual test kind of guides this by focusing on the insurer's awareness and their deliberate action despite that awareness.
Got it. So awareness plus deliberate action equals assuming the risk, more or less. Okay, what's the second big takeaway?
The second crucial principle is the importance, as we discussed, of detrimental reliance by innocent third parties. If someone receives money in good faith, they didn't participate in any wrongdoing, and then they alter their position in a way that would cause them harm if they were forced to return the funds, the courts are generally very reluctant to order restitution. ACC releasing their lien on the truck is a prime example. They acted reasonably based on the payment they received. Equity steps in to protect that innocent party.
So the practical advice then for insurance companies seems pretty clear. Really do your homework, your due diligence, before you issue the payment. Don't just pay and hope you can maybe claw it back later if something smells fishy.
Absolutely. This case serves as a potent reminder that insurers generally don't get do-overs when they have suspicions but decide to pay anyway. Thorough prepayment investigations are just essential. And it's also critical to remember the very different legal positions of the policyholder who commits the fraud, like Sharbarth here, compared to an innocent third-party payee like ACC. The law treats them very, very differently. Restitution against the fraudster, usually straightforward, against the innocent party who relied on the payment, much, much harder.
Okay, so just to wrap it all up, the core holding in Terra Nova is that the insurer couldn't recover the payment from the innocent lien holder, ACC. The court viewed the payment not as a mistake, but as a business decision made with awareness of potential fraud.
Yeah.
And crucially, ACC was an innocent party who had relied on that payment to their detriment by releasing their collateral.
That's the key takeaway. And it really underscores some fundamental legal principles, you know?
Yep.
Courts generally value the finality of transactions. They don't like creating instability by allowing payments to be easily undone, especially when innocent parties have acted in good faith.
Right.
And the whole concept of restitution or unjust enrichment, while it's a cornerstone of fairness in law, it definitely has its limits, particularly when the party wanting the money back, the payer, knowingly assumed a level of risk in making the payment in the first place.
So as you law students continue your studies and you encounter these concepts, again, mistake of fact, unjust enrichment, detrimental reliance, risk allocation, think back to this Terra Nova case and maybe consider this. Given the inherent complexities of insurance claims and the, you know, ever-present potential for undetected fraud, what broader ethical or maybe even legal responsibilities, if any, should insurance companies bear towards third parties? People who might be indirectly impacted by a fraudulent claim down the line, even if those third parties are initially innocent recipients of funds, like ACC was.
Yeah.
It's definitely a complex question, I think, and one that this case really brings into sharp focus.
Indeed. It's a really valuable point to reflect on, the sort of ripple effects. And with that food for thought, I think we'll conclude this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.